mystery may be just a few feet away on the other side of the boat. Have you ever stopped praying for something that you asked the Lord to do? Salvation for a loved one or a special need for you? Keep on praying, remember the story. The answer is so close. Getting ready to fill your net on the other side of the boat.
On the other side
of the boat, just a few feet away, the Lord filled their net and gave them victory that day.
So when
you get discouraged, oh, don't you give up hope. Victory may be just a few feet away on the other side of the boat.
On the other
side of the boat, just a few feet away, the Lord filled their net and gave them victory that day.
So when
you get discouraged, oh, don't you give up hope. Victory may be just a few feet away on the other side of the boat.
Hello, good evening. My name is Nellie Romero. I am from Bourbonnais, Illinois. I am a junior studying elementary education. And one thing I could say about Providence is that we have a really big bus ministry, and I love and enjoy it every Sunday that I get to see the faces of those kids getting on the bus every Sunday. It's really encouraging to be able to be an influence to them and the next generation that's coming up. So if you're looking for a college that emphasizes ministry, I would highly recommend Providence Baptist College.
Hi, my name is Mindy Reardon. I'm from Bourbonnais, Illinois, and I am a junior studying secondary education. And the thing I really like about Providence is that, for one, we have... Doesn't hurt, but I would say is because we have a really good teaching staff. For one, I really enjoy that I get to see preacher every week, and I say that every church, not just this one. And so if you're looking for a good church, I mean college, that emphasizes in good teaching and doctrine that you would learn at this church, then I would definitely recommend Providence Baptist College.
Hello, my name is Julie Seibert. I'm from Dwight, Illinois, and I am a junior studying secondary education.
Hi, my name is Julia Borner from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am a junior studying elementary education. I like about Providence that it teaches you about how to be a good soul winner and a good bus ministry. I didn't have a very strong foundation, but they have helped me become a better soul winner and better bus worker. And at the piano, we have Haven Zander. She's from Kalamazoo, Michigan. She's a sophomore studying graphic design.
America, land of the red.
just a little cruise of oil.
Some of the best girls we got right there. If you're a teenager, stand up. The girls have a card they want to give you. And if you will fill out that card and drop it off at the table back here after the service, fill it out completely, and we will put all the completely filled out cards in a drawing, and you could win valuable merch. Merch, that's what the young people call it. So I got to, you know, I can relate to the youths of America. The merch. We got the merch. If you want, we want your name, we want your address, phone number, your Visa, MasterCard, Social Security number, bank account. Just fill out all the blanks and turn in the card, and we will be glad to see that. All right. I told them not to sing as many songs as they normally would because I got a message here I want to try to get through. And I want to get you home early because you've all been tired with the campers. And they've got a whole bunch of songs more than that on the CD. This is one of the best CDs we've ever had. It's one of the best college tour group CDs I have ever heard. So buy a CD tonight. You will kick yourself if you do not buy a CD tonight. Right? Or I'll have Haven kick you if you don't want to kick yourself. Hi, Mrs. McCaslin. How you doing? Good to see you. All right. I came here 35 years ago this summer. And I was hired as a staff member. They made me the principal of the school here. And I did that for about 2.5 years. And I really loved that. And I see faces out here that were my students when I was principal. Right? Yep, there she is. Good. Mm-hmm. And it's good. I have students at the college that come to my classes that are children of the students that I had when I was a principal here 35 years ago. I got a sermon tonight with no crying parts in it, so I didn't want to get started because I just love this place. I was a member of this church for 31 years, and for about 20 of those years, I was off raising support and going to the mission field, and this is a great place. I just love it here. I love you people, I see a lot of unfamiliar faces, and that's good because that means in the years that I've been out and about, you've been reaching people all these years while I've been gone, and it's just really, really good to be back tonight. And I am now working at Providence Baptist College. Providence Baptist College. I love Providence Baptist College. All four of my children went to Providence Baptist College. I didn't ask them where they wanted to go to college. I told them, you are going to go to Providence Baptist College. Number one reason I wanted them to go to Providence Baptist College is because every Thursday, Pastor Terry Angel comes up there and spends the day teaching classes. And I wanted my kids to be in a place where their pastor was teaching every week, and a lot of other good reasons to go to Providence, and we've got I've got some really good professors. Our pastor, Dr. Keith Gomez, you are well familiar with him. He is a great man of God. And even though he is soon to be retiring from the pastorate, he has made it very clear around the nation that he is still going to be very much involved in Providence Baptist College. He'll probably be at the college more after he retires next year than he's ever been able to before. And I'm very excited about that. I know that Brother Angel has also agreed that he will continue to be an active part of our program at the college in the years to come. And I would not send my kids anywhere else but Providence Baptist College. So I would recommend that you just tell your kids where to go to college. You tell your kids, brush your teeth. You don't say, well, what do you think? You think it's a good idea? You tell them you need to eat your vegetables. You don't say, well, you know, it's your decision to make, and I know this is a big decision, so I'll just leave it up to you. You tell them what to do. One of the biggest decisions they'll ever make in their life. They'll probably find their spouse there. I mean, come on. Where's your parents at? I know they're here tonight. Where are they? Where are the Cyber? There they are. Hi, Cyberts. We're taking good care of them. You know we do. I love the students. I really do. And I think they love me back. And it's good to be at Providence Baptist College. What do I do up there? Well, I was involved in Christian education. So I teach education classes. I never took an education class when I was in college. But I teach education classes because I was involved in Christian education. I teach mission classes at the college because I was a missionary on the field for 18 years. I never took a missions class when I was in college, but I teach mission classes because I got the stories to tell. And all I need is an outline and I can just take off and tell stories. So I am very impressed with the instructors that we have. Everybody that we have teaching at Providence Baptist College is a person with much experience in the field. Educators are teaching educators. We've got preachers preaching, teaching preacher boys how to preach and how to administrate their churches. And, of course, Brother Woodward from Dwight, he comes up every Tuesday and he spends the day teaching classes there. It's just a remarkable assembly of instructors that young people can learn from. And we all love the kids and we just want to see them find God's will for their life, and we want them to be happy, and we want them to serve God with their lives. So that's what Providence Baptist College is all about. Got any questions, you stop by and see us afterwards. If you are a teenager and you've never been up to the campus of Providence Baptist College, you contact us. We will give you you come up and during the school year when we're having classes and you spend a day or two up there, we will give you free meals and free lodging and we'll let you go to classes. We'll let you look at our campus and meet our students. You can make sure you come to my class, right? They should all come to my classes. I teach different classes every semester. I've been there for 4 years now. And just about the time I think, okay, now I got all my notes and everything. I'm starting to PowerPoint everything now. I got it all PowerPointed and I'm thinking this would be good. And then they tell me next semester, well, now you're teaching something else. So I got to get it all prepared. That's good. Challenge. I teach, what else do I teach? Science classes because I'm smart. I teach math classes. And we were talking about geometry on the way down here. There's a guy who knows I can teach geometry. I think this semester I'm teaching physics. And I've taught chemistry. And I teach American history and history of civilization. And anything they don't want to teach, I guess they give it to me. And I have fun with it, and my students have fun with it, and they learn a lot. So, anyway, that's Providence Baptist College. Most of you know that how long has it been ago that we found out that my wife had cancer? It was 2.5 years ago, I guess, that we found out my wife had cancer. And I was blessed with a tremendous gift of having her as my wife for 37 years, and you all who knew her knew what a sweet lady she was. And once she got sick, I was blessed to have her for 14 months. And the type she had pancreatic cancer. You do not usually last 14 months with pancreatic cancer. But I had her for 14 months. That was a tremendous gift from the Lord to be able to have her. And God took her, and it was time. and he has given me grace, and I miss her. I think about her every day, but I have a very rich, fulfilling life right now. I've got 7 grandchildren. 3 of them are in the Elgin area. I see them several times a week. Sunday night after church, my granddaughter Lily, who is 4, she was standing on my car console with the sunroof open, and she was standing up, and she was driving on the parking lot. She was waving to everybody. And my grandson Judah, who is 6, he was sitting on my lap, and he was driving Grandpa's car. And we did that for about a half an hour. We had a good time. So every Monday night, my family comes over. My kids come over. We have family night. And some of you know that my youngest, April, has had some spiritual struggles. And she has taken some big steps back in the right direction in the last few years. She's not quite where she should be yet, but she comes over to my house every Monday night. And she's back in the family, and she comes to church once in a while, and you pray for her, and all my kids are doing good. So that's about where I'm at. I tell people I guess I'm now the most eligible bachelor in fundamentalism, but I am not on the market. I am having a really good time being a bachelor grandpa. So life is good. Life is fulfilling and satisfying, and God's good. So. All right, I got 20 minutes, almost. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. This is a message I preached a bunch of other places, and I always wanted to preach it here, so I'm going to give it to you tonight. I'm going to have to hurry with it. So there's no crying places in here, so I'll just go right on through, and we will have a good time tonight, because I like this story, and if I like it, you're going to like it, so. This is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Let's read a few verses. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I'm trying to do it quickly here. So let's read a few verses. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And then they work and they get paid, and that's the end of the story. So let's pray and see if we can get something out of this tonight that'll be a blessing and a help to you tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we have. I pray that you'll help me to say just what you want me to say, and I pray that you'll help us to be blessed tonight as we look at your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's the story. The story, it's a parable. Jesus told it. It has a spiritual meaning, but when you first read it, you read it. There's a guy who has a vineyard and he needs workers, and he hires them, and later on in the day he hires some more, and he hires some more, and he hires some more, and then they work and he pays them, and then there's an argument and the story's over, and you're like, what? What was that? Well, the context of this story, he told this story right after the encounter he had with the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler came, and he said, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, you got to keep the commandments. And he says, well, I do all that. And Jesus thought, well, this guy's got a problem, and I'm going to put my finger on it. And he said, would you sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me? And the guy's like, I don't think so. And the guy walked away. And Peter said, I gave up everything I had. And I followed you. What do I get? And Jesus could have rebuked him, but he said, what you're going to get if you follow me is you're going to get well rewarded. And then he goes right into this story. So this story has something to do with rewards. Now, there's a lot of applications, and I could spend a lot of time on these other applications. The first thing I could see as a secondary application in this story is here is a story of free enterprise, capitalism, and private property rights. There's a man who has a private property. He makes his own decisions about when he's going to plant, what he's going to grow, when he's going to harvest, who he's going to hire, and how much he's going to pay them. He didn't have to deal with the union. He didn't have to do minimum wage laws. And he responded to market forces that brought him the maximum return on his investments. And that is a scriptural method of running an economy. Free market capitalism, that's Bible. Successful people are successful usually because they work hard and make wise choices, and God blesses them. I lived for 18 years in the former Soviet Union, and I saw lots of socialism, and I saw the benefits of socialism. It's a mess. And now I see America just going whole hog after socialism, and I'm really, really bothered about that. Socialists think that those who earn should not keep what they earn. Socialists think that a government agent has to stand between a businessman and a customer and take a percentage of the transaction, just because. Socialists talk about the 99% wanting to have what the 1% have. That's socialism. Socialists talk about social justice. That's socialism. American politicians say that you don't become successful because you work hard. You become successful because the government was there to help you out. That's socialism. Socialism is a demonic theory. It is of the devil. Socialism killed 120 million people in the 20th century. Communism is an advanced form of socialism, as was Hitler's Nazism, an advanced form of socialism. But that's not what the message is about. That's just, you know, there's free market capitalism going on in this story. Guy's hiring workers, he's paying them something, and he's making a profit. There's an application here about rewards. God rewards all of his servants. Everybody who worked in the vineyard got rewarded. God will never be in debt to any man. Everyone who serves will be rewarded richly. And some of these started later than others. If you started serving God later in life, you can still get rewarded. In fact, you can kind of get the same reward as those that have been in it all their lives, which somehow doesn't seem fair. That's kind of what these guys thought. But what's that to you? God rewards the way he wants to. And you just got started in this, you get in. Get in with both feet, jump in, the water's fine, start serving God in this church, and you can be just as big a part of the ministry of this church as somebody who's been here for 50 years. No seniority rights in the work of God. Sometimes the ones who've been working in the field all day long for a long time get the idea, well, I've done enough, I'm just going to slack off for a while. Well, if that's your attitude, shame on you. Get back in and get busy, do what you can. Maybe you can't do as much as you used to, but you need to be working till the whistle blows. And what's the whistle we're looking for? We're looking for the trumpet. It's going to blow, and then time is up, and then you get paid. So that's good. To whom much is given, much is required. You know what you can get if you don't have as much talent and ability as somebody else? You can get, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what you can get if you got started late and you never got a chance to get the training or the experience or the Christian family or whatever it was, the advantages that somebody else might have? You can get, well done, thou good and faithful servant, just like everybody else can. That's another application. I wouldn't spend too much time on that. There's another application is you should mind your own business when God blesses somebody else. There were people in this story that got paid exactly what they were promised, and they saw other people get paid the exact same amount, but they hadn't worked as many hours, and they were like, that's not fair. Hey, whoa, you can't do that. You should give me more. And the master said, you mind your own business. I'll do what I want to do. It's mine. Is your eye evil because I am good? I remember Peter and John, where Jesus was walking with Peter down the sandy shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he says, Peter, you're gonna serve me, and it's going to be kind of rough. And when it's done, you're going to die. And Peter looked at John and said, what about that guy? And Jesus said, what's it to you? It's none of your business. What is that to thee? That's King James English for what's it to you. None of your biz. Mind your own beeswax. You do what I want you to do, and I'll take care of the other guy, and you don't worry about it. That's a good Bible principle. It's in this story. Those are all good applications. You got to rejoice when somebody else seems to be blessed more than you are. But I think that the main application, the one I want to focus on for a few minutes tonight, is that God is God's got a work that needs to be done. And this is a parable, which means everything in the parable is parallel to something that he's teaching about. It's an earthly story with a spiritual meaning, and it's got parallels. So if you can figure out what the parallels are, you can figure out what the story's talking about. All right, how about the master? The master owns the vineyard. He calls the workers and he assigns them to do their job. And when they're done, he rewards them. Spiritually, who is that? That's God. Okay, no brainer. We got that one. Then we got the workers. The workers are called by God. They're given assignments. That's obviously God's people doing God's work. Do you know the first people that God called to work in his vineyard were Jews? They were in on God's plan from the very beginning. Now you've got about, I'm going to be very professorial tonight. You're going to be in my Bible college class tonight. Let's see, timeline, okay, for you it goes this way. So the beginning of the timeline, you go all the way back to the creation. How many years ago was that? About 6,000 years. All my history students know this. 6,000 years ago is the creation. All right, you go about 1,600 years in the future, you got a flood. And then about another 400 or 500 years, you're about 4,000 years ago. Now, who was living about 4,000 years ago? Say Abraham. Abraham, yes, very good. So Abraham. Now, the plan of salvation was started back in the Garden of Eden as soon as Adam and Eve sinned. He promised the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. So that was the plan of salvation. And it's always been the same all the way back to the beginning of time. But when God decided to put it into motion and start the plan going, he went to a man named Abraham. Abraham, father of the Jews. So Abraham would be one of the workers that God called at the very beginning of the day. Now, if you are a landowner who's hiring workers in the first century when Jesus is telling this parable, you'll know that the work day begins at 6 o'clock in the morning or right around sunup. There is a 12-hour work day and you work 6 days a week. That was the way it worked back when people followed the Bible. I'm not saying we have to do that now, but if you work for Providence Baptist College, you probably will. So you start at 6 o'clock in the morning. That is the beginning of the work day. 6 to 7 is the first hour of the day. So at the very beginning of the day, God calls workers into his vineyard, and we're going to represent 4,000 years ago as being the beginning of the work day. Got it? First hour of the day is what time? 6 o'clock in the morning. That's 6,000 years ago. We got Abraham. Now, Abraham, remember that spot right there, because I'm going to go back there in a minute. We're back there with Abraham. Abraham, he had a long, long work day, and he had to do the heavy lifting. The guys that were called early in the day of God's history of working, they had it tougher than we do. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a church. All he had was a voice, and God really didn't tell him all that much. Leave your city. Leave your family. Go. Where? I'll show you. Okay. That's heavy lifting. That is some heavy-duty faith. And, I mean, he asked him to do some really tough things. Sacrifice your son. What? Okay. That's heavy duty, heavy lifting. The workers who were called in the first part of the day, they complained by saying, "We have borne the burden and the heat of the day." That's a pretty good representation of these guys that served God back at the beginning. God asked them to do some very hard things, and they didn't have that much to work with, but they were faithful, and he did what he needed to do so that the plan of salvation could get going. All right, you go forward from that. You've got Isaac and Jacob, and they were working early in the day. And you get about, you get about 8 o'clock in the morning. That would be about 3,500 years ago. There you got Moses. He's in the first part of the day. I mean, he had a rough job to do. Okay, so in the story, the Bible tells us that the guy went out. He had hired these guys, and they're working, and they're doing their job. But he went out about the third hour of the day. Now we're going to give you a math lesson. We start at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's when it starts. When's the third hour of the day? 9 o'clock. All right, so 9 o'clock is the third hour of the day. Now, if 4,000 years ago with Abraham was the beginning of the work day, 9 o'clock in the morning would be about 3,000 years ago. And who was working in God's labor at that time, 3,000 years ago? David and Solomon. David and Solomon. Good. All right. So David and Solomon. Now, they had some very important work to do. But they had a little bit more to work with. It wasn't quite as hard for them. They didn't have quite as much, they didn't have to start so early. They didn't have to do, it wasn't quite as hard for them. But they had a lot of work to do. And they had to write Psalms, and they had to write Proverbs, and they had to build a temple, and build Jerusalem. They had lots of things to do. And they had to fight Philistines, and they had to kill Goliath, and all kinds of stuff. And they were doing what God wanted them to do, and they were in on God's work, and they were all helping to bring about the plan of salvation. And they worked, and they served well. All right, so the Bible says that he went out again about the sixth hour. All right, day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. Sixth hour of the day. 12 o'clock noon. Very good. All right. Now, that brings us up to about 2,000 years ago. Now, who was hanging around about 2,000 years ago? It's an easy one. I shouldn't have to prompt you on this one. That's when Jesus was there. And who did he call when he was there? He called his disciples, and he gave them work to do, and he personally trained them. And they had a lot of work to do, and it was pretty hard, but it wasn't quite as difficult for them. I mean, they had all the Psalms and the Proverbs and the books of Moses, and they had the prophets, and they had the personal training of Jesus Christ, and they served faithfully those that were called about the sixth hour of the day. Briefly, it says that he went about the ninth hour of the day. Ninth hour of the day? Well, if we're taking 1,000-year leaps here, how about 1,000 years ago? Well, you go back about 1,000 years, and you got all kinds of martyrs, and you got guys that are translating the Bible, and they're printing the Bible, and they're printing press didn't have the 1456, I think. Anyway, I'm supposed to be smart, so I should know this stuff. But 1,000 years ago, you had people that were called, but they had the whole New Testament already, and they had the Old Testament, and it was still pretty tough, and they were working hard, but they were kind of called late in the game, but they had a job, they had an assignment, and they were working hard, and they did their job. And then he came to the 11th hour. 11th hour. Now, they started at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, I know this is tough math, but we've been stepping through it, so maybe you can keep it straight. 11th hour of the day, what time did these guys get hired? 5 o'clock. The work day ends at 6. How long were they going to work? 1 hour. And I love the way he describes these guys. This is kind of the main point of the message here, the description of these guys. He goes out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, evening, an hour before the end of the workday. And in verse 6, about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. Now, he'd been out at the same marketplace every few hours all day long. And these guys had not been there. I think they were home, like, playing Nintendo, or what is it now? PlayStation? What's the big one now? I don't know. Xbox? I'm out of the Nintendo Switch. I don't know what they were doing back then. 5 o'clock, and they're like, let's go see what's going on. And he said, why are you standing here idle? And they said, probably with their hands in their pockets, they said, nobody hired us. Well, if you'd have been here 2 hours ago, you could have got hired. If been here 5 hours ago, you would have got hired. If been here 8 hours ago, you would have got hired. If been here 11 hours ago, you would have got hired, you lazy bums. Now, I have a word for guys like that. We don't have very many of these at the college. Every once in a while, we get some. And when we do, I tell the girls, don't go, not that one. Because what I call them is slackers. Slackers. And they are at the 11th hour. Now, I've been making 1,000-year jumps here. And the 9th hour, I said, was 1,000 years ago. And now we're up to the 11th hour. We are like right at the end of the timeline here. Any idea who he might be talking about? I think he's talking about our generation. And doesn't that describe our generation? Standing around idle. Probably don't even know how to get any work done. He says, I'll tell you what, I got an hour to go. You come to my vineyard, I'll give you something to do, and I will pay you whatever's right. And they said, okay. Now, I don't think these guys got much work done. I think they probably, grabbed some grapes and they dropped them and, tried to get them in the basket. Why would he pay these guys to do anything for him? I think the main principle in this parable is the Lord desperately wants the harvest to be gathered. He wants that more than anything else. What's the harvest? That's lost people. And He wants every one of them He can get. And I think if God put up a recruiting poster to match this parable in our generation, He just put up a big sign that would say, "Slackers wanted." And I look around at my generation, including myself, and I feel like, well, I guess if He wants to use a slacker, I guess I'll volunteer. There's a lot smarter people, a lot better people, a lot more holy people, but it doesn't seem like very many of them are going down to get hired. He desperately wants the harvest to be gathered, and He wants you to be in His field working for Him, gathering some of that harvest. And He doesn't care that we... You ever compare yourself to the generations that went before? You think about what it's going to be like in heaven. You go into a dinner party or a picnic or something, and you've got a fried chicken in one hand and a sweet tea in the other hand, and you're all standing around with the saints, and you're saying, when I was down on earth, I had it really tough. I remember the Saturday that I went out on my bus route. I went out for a whole half hour, and somebody slammed the door in my face. And then I went to McDonald's, and they were out of Chicken McNuggets. Broke my heart. I went home, and my Wi-Fi was down. I suffered for Jesus. Oh, by the way, what's your name? And He'll say, "I'm John the Baptist. I got my head cut off." Oh, that's kind of embarrassing. How about you? I am Adoniram Judson. I was locked up in a filthy prison for years. They tied my feet together, and they hung me by my feet with only my head and my shoulders touching the ground. My first wife died on the mission field. My second wife died on the mission field. And a lot of my children died on the mission field. But we saw some people in Burma that got saved. I think we're just going to be humiliated by comparison. How about you? What's your name? I'm David Livingston. I got mauled by a lion in Africa. My arm never worked again. But praise the Lord, I got to serve Him. God wants you to work for Him. If you're not involved in the ministries of your church, you need to get involved. There's something here that you could do, and you should be doing it. There is a part of the harvest that you could harvest, and you probably won't do a very good job of it. But the Master desperately wants you to be on His workforce. He wants you working for Him. He wants to hire all the slackers He can hire. So get in line and get to the vineyard. And when He pays, the guys that worked for 1 hour, He gave them a full day's pay. The guys that worked all day are like, "Whoa, wait a minute, time out. That's not fair. That's the same amount I got for working 12 hours. You can't do that. You give me more." And the Master said, "Don't worry about him. You agreed for a day's wages. You got it. Be happy. Go. I'll give what I want. I'll reward what I needed that guy at the 11th hour, because there was some of the harvest that wouldn't have gotten harvested if I hadn't gotten those slackers out of the marketplace and put them to work." Now, I'm out of time. That's basically the idea of the sermon. You need to get busy helping to gather the harvest. There's a lot that needs to be done in this church, and you need to get involved. You say, "Well, I can't do that much." And these guys couldn't either. There's something you can do. Let's get involved. Let's do something. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for the truth that you want to hire some slackers. And Lord, we are wanting in comparison to the great men of God of the past. I just pray that you would challenge us with this story to want to get involved and do something before time runs out. Because we know that the whistle is about to blow. The end of time is coming, and I believe it's coming very soon. And there's not much time we have left to gather the harvest. And Lord, we need to be busy at it. Help some slackers to get involved. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Two or three great applications. I really like what he said about if you get into this matter of serving the Lord late in the game, your reward is as much as if you'd gotten in at the beginning. And I also like what he said. The reason God was so desperate at that 11th hour was because time's running out And the more he could put in that vineyard, he could get some of the last of the harvest in. And that is the heart of our God. God's heart has always been the harvest. Many of you are active, and some are not. I wonder if the Lord's challenged your heart tonight. Let's stand together, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The pianist begins to play. Why don't you step out tonight? Tremendous Bible message. Great application. Completely fair scriptural applications to make. Isn't it amazing that the people that worked 1 hour at the end of the day got the same reward as those that bore the burden and heat of the day? Wow. God's economy is the greatest economy to be a part of. Tonight. Let God speak to your heart. Lord, help us. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege of being in this service tonight, the good music that we heard. And Lord, this good message, application from that wonderful story that Jesus gave when he was here. Lord, we see it. It's the 11th hour. There's no doubt about it. I pray you'd help us to be busy in the vineyard. Everybody doing something in the vineyard in this last hour. And thank you for your generous reward for serving you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to reach more folks, please, in this area. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name, and amen.